fall to my knees, so it's you that they see, not I. Jesus, you be lifted high.
Father, we're so thankful to be here this morning. I pray for these next few moments, Lord, that we would be so seeking you. And Lord, that you would be exalted in this service. Father, that you would minister to every heart here this morning, that you would speak intimately to each and every one of us. Have your way now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If y'all will, open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. And before you think I'm losing my mind, no, we did talk about these verses last week. We actually ended with these verses last week. Last week we were talking about Jesus being led into the desert to be tempted. Anybody remember last week's sermon? It's okay if you don't, because I had to really think about it, okay? Last week we talked about Jesus being led into the desert to be tempted. And I talked about how some of us may be led into the desert at different times. And I use these verses here in Genesis chapter 4 where it says, sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you, but you must master it. And that's what I ended with. And I don't know about you guys, but I had a rough week, okay? FedEx was not a fun place to be this week. And for a lot of us, amen, amen. And it was not a it's not a fun week at work. And I told the kids Wednesday night about things that we're listening to and how it gets in your head. I shared this in Sunday school, and I talked about, you know, if you're around a bunch of guys that cuss all the time, what's going to pop in your head? That's what's going to pop in your head, you know. And I used to have a filthy mouth, and the Lord delivered me from that. And it's been a long time since I've cussed. It's been a real long time. And I shared that with the kids Wednesday night, and I thought, uh-oh, I'm about to get hit. And Friday at work, I got madder than I've been in a long time. And I was, and it got to right there, and I caught it. I didn't say it. But the times of testing come, and to see what we're made of comes. And so that was last week's sermon, being in the desert. This week we're going to go someplace else, okay? So Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept the flock, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Okay, so Abel brought his best, right? Abel brought the best part, the fat portions, and Cain just brought something. And see, for many of us, that's our life. We just bring a little something to God, but we don't really give God our best. We don't sell out completely for God. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? That same truth for us today. If we just would do what's right. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. I concentrated on that a lot at the end of last week's service. I'm not going to concentrate on it too much. But all of us have felt that in our lives, hadn't we? Just sin crouching at our door, whether it's in anger or jealousy or finances or just lust. All these things, it's just crouching at our door. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. What happened there? okay, Cain was mad. Cain was mad because the Lord accepted Abel's offering and not his. So there was jealousy, there was envy there. That's what really was taking place. If we look at the what's really going on there is he was so jealous because his brother was accepted. And as I've been thinking about this, and I thought, how many of us struggle with jealousy and envy in our lives? We're looking around at what so and so has, or what they, you know, what they have, what they don't have, you know, and there's guys that I work with, and man, they're loaded, and they got money coming out their ears, it seems like, and they're always going and buying a new toy and doing this, and one guy, it's like 4 weekends in a row. One weekend he went and bought a new car, and the next weekend he went and bought a bunch of farm equipment. The next weekend he goes and buys a new side by side, and I'm like. And he takes off all the time. He doesn't even work. And I'm like, how do you do this? Where's all this money coming from, you know? And I have to admit, I get a little jealous sometimes. It makes me jealous. And like, man, I wish I could afford to do that. He's got a new boat that he bought last year. He's got a place on the lake. I'm like, you make the same amount of money as me. What's taking place here? How's this happening? Well, his mom's got money. His mom helps him out. Mom, if you're listening, hello, Mom. It's easy to get jealous, though, right? It's easy to get envious of what other people have. And you want that and you desire that. Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Can I tell you something? If we're always looking at what everybody else has, it says it's going to rot our bones. You guys have coworkers sometimes that they pay more attention to what you're doing than what they're doing themselves. That's one of the struggles I've had this week is people looking at me. Now, I've been at FedEx, be 20 years in September. And I've got guys that's been there 2 and 3 years that gripe about my route, about the hours I work and everything else. And it's like, dude, I've been here 20 years and you've been here a few and you're griping and you're complaining, you know? But if I'm not careful, I can get mad and I can see the jealousy that they have towards me and they're always teasing, why don't you just retire? And you know, I'm number 3 on seniority now and number 1 on seniority. He's just like 51, he's not much older than me, and you know, everybody's always messing with him. Why don't you just retire? Why do they want him to retire? So they can move up, right? So they can move up, so they can get a seniority spot, so somebody can have my run, can have my spot. But y'all, it's not just them doing it to me, it's me doing it to others. We got these part-time guys, and you know, sometimes when I get there in the morning and they'll get something easy to do and I get the worst looking thing out there and I got seniority. Why are they giving them the easy stuff, you know? And jealousy and you know, I might not look at it as jealousy. I might look at it as, well, my rights and my privilege. I should be getting the easy stuff. But really, the problem is I'm focused on them. And what they've got instead of where I'm at. Envy rots the bones. James 3:14 through 16 says, but if you harbor bitter and envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. You hear that? Where you have envy and selfish ambition. So where we get jealous and we get ambitious of all me, all about what I want, it says there's every evil practice. There's disorder. Y'all, I feel that in my spirit sometimes. And I see that in the lives of those around me where we're so envious and we're so jealous. And we're all about ourselves. We're all about... I was reading last night about I don't know if you guys seen that. And I preached on this, I don't know, three or four months ago about the selfie deaths and everybody dying from selfies. And did y'all see that a couple weeks ago where that girl, it was in Washington or Oregon, climbed over the guardrail to get a better selfie and fell down a cliff and died? I think she was 18. And I'm reading this, you know, and there was another article released last night, and the article last night was kind of a mean article, but it was basically saying that the idiots are getting what they deserve, and that's not a nice article, but what is driving all this? It's everybody wanting the attention, and oh, I want you to be jealous of me and how perfect and how wonderful my life is. And many of us fall into that trap. You know, everybody takes pictures of their food and their perfect lives and their perfect families. Well, they're just snapshotting moments. They're not snapshotting the argument they have with their wife. The kid throwing the temper tantrum, you know, the moments of what all that took, you know, they're just posting the little moments of this bliss and this wonderful life when it's not real. And what does it do in us? It creates jealousy and envy. Oh, if my husband did this, if my wife did this, if my kids were that smart. Proverbs 27:4 says, anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? And I was thinking about that, and I thought how jealousy can so overtake us that it can become a driving force in our life. 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, you are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? And I love that verse. Are you not acting like mere men? Because we shouldn't be acting like that anymore. We're better than that now because of Jesus Christ and what He did. We shouldn't have to give in to this anymore. But there's so much jealousy. There's so much quarreling. And when I was thinking about jealousy, and I was thinking it really begins when you start comparing your lives, right? When you start comparing. That's really where the root of jealousy begins, is you're looking at someone else and comparing what you have to what they have. Theodore Roosevelt said, comparison is the thief of joy. I like that. Comparison is the thief of joy. Because you know what? You can be pretty happy with what you have till you see somebody that has something a little better, right? And then what? All at once you want what they have. You want something a little better, a little nicer, a little newer, a little cleaner. It's funny, and you guys know, I confess, I like new vehicles, and if I could afford it, I'd buy a new truck every year. And why would I buy a new truck every year? Because next year there's going to be something a little better, a little nicer than what you got now. And if we get caught up in that, our joy is robbed. Because we're always comparing to what we don't have or what we do have. Galatians 6, 4 and 5 says, each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Comparison can promote pride or jealousy. I want you to think about that. Comparison can promote pride or jealousy, because if you're comparison to somebody that has better, what? You're jealous. You wish you had what they had. If you're comparing yourself to someone that doesn't have as much, then what? You can be prideful and, oh, I'm a little better than them. I'm a little smarter than them. I've got it together better than them. There's no room for it in God's family. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to anyone else. I shouldn't be looking at what everybody else has. I should be looking at what God has given me. And that's it. What God has given me the ability to do. What God has opened up the doors for me. Romans 12:3 says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. A man, that can be tough when you're successful. Can it? That can be tough when you think you're all that. To humble yourself. It all comes from comparing. From comparing. I always use Casey for an example, but I'm going to just keep picking on Casey. But when I was in school, I loved playing football. And I remember first game of the year, I got Southwest Times Player of the Week. And all my buddies, I could see them bad-mouthing me. Because they didn't get it, right? And I thought I was pretty good at football. And I used to, you know, I still got videos. If anybody would like to come over this evening, we can watch them. You know, you got to hit tracking. And, you know, it's a little bit jumps with my old VCR. But I really need to get those transferred to digital so we can save them for all of y'all. I thought I was pretty good at football, you know, but then I watched Casey play football. And y'all don't tell Casey, but Casey's a better football player than I was, okay? He was faster, he was stronger, and he was pretty good, you know. But the reality is, Casey's sitting here Sunday morning, he's not in the NFL, so you know what? There's a lot of guys better than Casey. I love you, brother. You know, there's always somebody going to be a little better than us, right? There's always going to be, but we can get so prideful and so boastful and think we're all that. We better be careful and we better understand that everything we have is a gift of God. Everything God has given us is a gift. There's a guy this week, and he's one of the number one drivers. He's been at FedEx for about 25 years, and he was ranting and raving, letting the boss have it, called corporate office. You know why? Because in the flooding last week, our paycheck stubs got lost. I don't know about y'all, but probably 99% of all of our employees now have direct deposit, okay? So that paycheck stub is just a piece of paper. And we actually even have this neat little computer thing that you can look on your phone and look at your paycheck stub, okay? But this guy's paycheck stub was lost. You'd have thought that, you know, they murdered his children the way that he was acting, just having a fit, calling corporate office. You can look in the computer. I don't use computers. He's yelling in the break room on the phone with corporate office. And all the while I'm just thinking, man, do you not realize how blessed you are to even have this job? You know, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I feel like FedEx is lucky to have me. But you know what? When I take off, it still functions properly. And if I never went back, those packages are still going to get delivered this week. And that company's going to keep going with or without Pete Rose. You know what? I need to stop and I need to be thankful that I have that job. And just like this man, he needs to stop maybe sometimes and examine his life and thank God that he has the job that he has, that he's able to provide for his family the way that he is. And we need to quit being so arrogant and so full of ourselves and comparing ourselves to everybody else and just stop and be thankful. Galatians 1:10 says, am I not trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Basically, how many of us are still living our lives trying to get those likes on, is it Snapchat that you like? No. I don't even know. I don't have it. You know, you get all the likes. I know, somebody posted something here a while back and had all these likes and somebody was really impressed with it. I don't know. They had several hundred likes, but how many of us though, we're living our life for likes? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You guys, I don't even know what I'm talking about here. We're living our lives for likes, for the approval of everybody around us. Comparing our lives, if I'm a little better than this guy, if I got a little newer than this guy, or if this guy's a little better than me, then I'm jealous and I want to knock him down to push myself up in that selfish ambition and to get ahead. And it's all about men's approval instead of God's approval. See, who we should be seeking is the Lord and only the Lord and His approval in our life. Because you know, what did Jesus tell His disciples? Take nothing with you. Take nothing with you and go. He would provide. Y'all, it's hard to not look at the world system and get caught up in it and more and more and more and when we really should just be trusting God, saying, God, You'll provide. I trust You. Back to Cain and Abel. Verse 11 says, now you are under curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Can I tell you something? If you're living your life in comparison and jealousy and envy, you better be careful. Because Cain said, what did he say? My punishment is more than I can bear. And you don't know how far that garbage can take you to the point that you're in a mess with your life. Y'all, I can't tell you the countless number of people that I know that they were working for the American dream, so to speak, and they're working and they're neglecting their wives, they're neglecting their families, and all at once they're in a divorce. Why? Well, I thought I was working hard. I thought I was doing everything I was supposed to do. Why? Because they were looking at what everybody else had instead of just what God had placed right in front of them and taking care of that. See, when we're comparing to everybody else, we can get lost so quick. And then the consequences and the punishment may be more than we can even stand because we've spent our lives busy. Old song, Cats in the Cradle, you know. Your life goes by so quick. What are you spending your time in? Are you worried about everybody else? Are you jealous of what they had? Or are you taking care of what God has placed right in front of you? Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, the only way that we can combat this is to start seeking the Lord and His approval and only His approval. And maybe it even means deleting some accounts. Maybe it means getting off the computer. You know, I had a friend, you guys have heard me talk about him before when I was at UPS. He was my boss and he got saved, quit UPS. And started traveling, speaking around the country, and he's still in ministry today. But when him and his wife got married, he said we've decided that we're just going to be poor for I think it was the first 4 or 5 years of their marriage, and they were just traveling doing ministry, and that was it, and let God provide. But he said something to me. I guess he knew how I was with vehicles, you know. About driving past a new car lot, and he said, do you ever feel conviction for just staring at that instead of just looking ahead? And you guys know I've preached here long enough. I wrecked my mom's Cadillac. Why? Because I was staring at this awesome truck. Well, man, that's for sale. I could buy it. Look back. Everybody stopped but me. Because my eyes and my attention was over on what I wish I could have, instead of paying attention to what's right in front of me. Y'all, we better stop looking at what everybody else has and start paying attention to what God's speaking to us, what God's showing us. You say, oh, that, you know, it's not a big deal being a little bit jealous, being a little bit envious. It drives me to see what everybody else, if I'm comparing myself, then it makes me a better worker. It does this for me, you know, and it's not that big a deal. Yet Cain killed his brother over jealousy. You might say, Pete, that's crazy. I'm not going to kill anybody. Well, maybe not physically, but you know, neglecting them. not spending time with them. You're so driven. You're so focused. And more importantly, you're looking at the things of the world instead of the things of God and how quickly you can get lost. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, I thank You for Your message, and I pray for forgiveness for myself, Lord, of all the times that I'm so jealous and I'm so envious of the people and the world around me. And Father, I pray that You would forgive me of that. Lord, I pray that You would open up each and every one of our eyes this morning, Lord, that if we are struggling with that there is freedom. There is freedom from that this morning, and that freedom is found in You, Lord. I pray that everybody in this room would recognize areas of faults, areas where we're struggling, areas of sin in our life, Lord, and that right now we would begin to confess that sin. And Lord, You said when You came that You came to set the captives free. And Father, I pray that there would be freedom this morning, freedom for each and every one of us. Lord, in the envy, in the jealousy, in the comparison, and Lord, whatever we're struggling with this morning, that there would be freedom. Lord, that we would cry out this morning, that we would confess our sins, that we would repent and turn from those sins, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would be delivered. Father, I pray for Your deliverance this morning in my life and in the lives of this congregation, Lord. Help us to be so focused upon You, to no longer be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. Lord Jesus, have Your way now. Have Your way now. May Your Spirit have freedom in this place. In Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer this morning for anything, if there's any struggle in your life, there's nothing that God can't help you overcome, that God can't fix in your marriages, in your homes, in your personal struggles. God can give you freedom this morning. If you need prayer, come, let me pray for you. Talks about us taking every thought captive. And so I encourage you this week when the moments of jealousy, the moments of envy pop up in your mind, take that thought captive. Don't allow it to fester inside of you. Maybe this message was just for me this morning, but y'all, I struggle. I struggle with even people coming to the house and you know, things just not being perfect. Well, why do I want things being perfect? Because I want them to be impressed by stuff. That's wrong. You know, there's flaws sometimes in life. If the front door is not painted with a new coat of paint, the carpet's just not quite right. There's dirty dishes in the sink. There's a pile of laundry. Whatever. Let's quit being so prideful. And just start looking at what's real and what really matters. Living for Jesus. This week, let's take those thoughts captive and let's be victorious. Bible study tonight, 6:30. Y'all have a good afternoon.